Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this evening's full moon celebration, the full moon for August. Now, you may have noticed that the full moon is tomorrow, but it's in the afternoon. And of course, in the afternoon, the moon isn't up. And then by evening tomorrow, the moon will be waning. And the waning moon is not as auspicious as the waxing moon. And that's why we're celebrating the evening before the actual full moon. This is a traditional way of how the full moon celebration is scheduled. Now tonight we have a tape that was made when the MIU faculty were with Maharshi to create a series of tapes that were put together in a series called Perfection in Every Profession. And this was one of the discussions that they had. I think there were some Ayurvedic doctors that were present for this discussion also that influenced it, although they didn't. I think only one of them, you can hear one of them speaking at one point. I want to say a couple words about Shruti and Smriti. Shruti means that which is heard. And this is a word that's used to refer to the Vedas, which are said to have been cognized or heard by seers. And so these are the abstract intelligence, the blueprint at the basis of the whole creation. And so it's sort of an abstract field of intelligence and more specific and more related to human beings is the field of knowledge called Smriti. And there are 18 smritis and 18 upasmritis. And these are texts which detail what is the right behavior for each of the four castes and for each of the four stages of life. So there's do's and don'ts for all these different circumstances. And the knowledge of that is in the field called smriti. So these are abstract areas of Vedic literature, and Maharshi will be referring to these in the tape, so you have some glimpse if you've never heard of them before, that I wanted to give some introduction because they may not fill out all the details in this talk. So with that introduction, we're ready to start. Thank you.
Technology of the unified field. Perfection in every profession. DNA and memory, Shruti and Smriti. July 1990, Vlodrop, Holland.
Connotations of the same reality. It's my own fluctuation. Shruti, it's my Smriti, my own consciousness, quality of consciousness. The quality of consciousness in its ocean-like structure and quality of consciousness in its ripple-like structure, the wave-like structure. So when we say Shruti and Smriti, we see them on the same ground, made of the same material, pure intelligence. That is why Shruti is completely self-sufficient, made of its own. Smriti is completely self-sufficient, made of its own. But we see, for the sake of for the sake of analysis and for the sake of understanding the difference between Shrutis and Smritis. So we see that the bubbling up of the holistic nature of self-referral wakefulness is due to the smriti, or memory contained in it. And the experiences metabolized by the observer, by the rishi, is collecting memories. Any experience and the memory is collected. Any experience, memory is collected. Any experience, memory is collected. Now, experience is a field of karma. Action. So, karma leaves behind its impression. That models up memory. So we say sanskaras. Sanskaras is impressions. Impressions are the metabolized values of experiences. Metabolized values of experiences deposit there as memory fluctuations, memory. And then one after the other, as one keeps on experiencing, one keeps on metabolizing the experiences, and one keeps on depositing impressions. And where do they get deposited? In DNA. And how they emerge? As RNA. So this is the mechanics of the pure, unbounded, holistic quality of intelligence to get into boundaries. These impressions make self-referral of a different kind, of a different kind, of a different kind, of a different kind. And this is how, by metabolizing the experience, impressions keep on deposited. DNA becomes bolder and bolder, having more and more strong bonds of experiences. So it is the action done without the basis of silence, action done without the basis of silence, that creates an impression. Impression comes as memory deposited in the structure of DNA, like that. And all this is on the level of self-referral consciousness going on and on and on. When the silence blossoms in the dynamic value of performance, when the silence blossoms, what it does is it makes the predominance of dynamism, which was depositing impressions after impressions, this depositing of impressions fades. That the impressions are not deposited as you would say, bold impressions, but they become faint impressions, because the experience requires that impression to be deposited. But when the impression is on the level of silence, then the dynamism is not so violent as in its quality of dynamism. It's subdued by the silence. It's subdued by the silence. And in this state, action on the ground of silence, the impressions are no more binding. What the impressions do, they generate they generate a wave in the holistic value of the doer, sanjita value of the doer. So that which initially, without the participation of silence, was the means of bondage, now it expresses holistic value. It expresses freedom, unboundedness, sufficiency, self-sufficiency, bliss. Process remains the same, but only the memory of the self-referral value, when it's lost, then object-referral, 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 then localized value, localized value, localized value. But when the unboundedness swells up and the total self-referral has all object-referral values as its own expressions, then you see the action in enlightenment, action in freedom. Memory, or smriti, with Shruti. Shruti is fluctuation, primordial sound popping up like that, like that. So Shruti and Smriti, they are together. Silence and dynamism, they are together. In that state, the fluctuations of dynamism don't create that rigid value of memory which will inspire other actions on that basis, like that, like that. So the cycle of memory breaks. When it breaks? When the memory rises to a continuum. There's no more cycle coming and going, no more impressions, no more memories, no more memory. This is life in enlightenment. This is life in enlightenment. And this is the way to train the awareness or consciousness to spontaneously not get more deposits of memories. Don't metabolize the experience so that it leaves a residue which then will become the ground for further popping up of action. This is called Nishkam Karma Yoga, that action in the state of non-action. This is the ideal of action. This is the ideal of action. We are talking this in the context of making every profession perfect. Every profession perfect means every action has to be perfect. Every action to be perfect means the action should express the reality of total self-sufficiency. The action should express wholeness. The action should be a means of vibrating in one's wholeness, not a means of bondage. So here, when the smriti wakes up in terms of shruti, that the smriti wakes up in terms of shruti means the shruti, this primordial sound in sequence. The sequential flow of the primordial sound is based on the smriti. What it was before, it's going to be now. In this way, we have discussed in short the skill in action, so that action, even though within the boundaries of space and time, action, even though within the boundary of space and time, but on the ground of unboundedness, unmanifestness. This is skill in action, and that action has been said in terms of yogastha guru karmani. Established in yourself, in the state of self-referral dynamism, which is lively on the ground of silence, yogastha guru karmani. Perform action, remaining established in the self. Perform action, remaining established in the self. And this action is that self-referral, sequential popping up of the primordial sounds, which we have discussed quite in detail. Primordial sounds, like that. And now we have added the element of memory to our understanding about how action remains a means of bondage and how action would become a means of expressing eternal freedom. Different way. So in this, the investigation into the genetic code is worth knowing how much modern physiology has explored into this region of impressions and action without impression, life without impression, and life without impression. It will give the experience, but the experience will not leave behind an impression which will inspire the memory for future action.
It almost sounds like the healthy state of DNA or the unhealthy state, because in the healthy state, DNA is the smriti, and it has contained within it also the shruti, the desire to express that intention. But it if it's in its perfectly balanced state, actually there are little regions within the DNA which regulate its expression. It has its own internal mechanics of regulating itself. And if it's in a very balanced state, then that regulation goes about in an incredibly sequential way. It's just very spontaneous. No object referral, it's almost complete self-referral. The whole DNA is unfolding in a way which will best fulfill the needs of the whole individual. But when the DNA becomes unhealthy, when it becomes diseased, then it becomes almost like object referral. It loses its memory, and it starts to, this is like in cancer, is, you know, a perfect example, where it has certain promoter regions, you know, oncogenes, which love to do certain things to make more and more DNA, to manufacture, to reproduce, but that becomes imbalanced. It becomes so deeply imbalanced. It once was a useful thing. All these growth factors and so forth were once, at one time, very valuable, but when that imbalance comes, then it loses its memory. There's a morphogenic field in which it sort of lives in, which supports it, which is its quantum mechanical nature, and it loses contact with that, and as a result, it becomes object referral. It responds only to its immediate needs. So one cell becomes cut off from the other cells, and it starts to behave
totally in a selfish, individual way, just wanting to make more of itself, losing memory of its relationship to the whole, and its whole intention becomes completely imbalanced. The whole, it's almost as if it's becoming more and more bound, because it ultimately results in its loss.
Yes. This is just the medical expression of yogastha guru karma. Remain hooked up, as you said, remain hooked up to the self-referral, and then you are a field of all possibilities.
Right.
The spontaneously desires will get fulfilled. That means support of all the laws of nature. So this is unified field-based action, very, very necessary for every profession to be perfect. There's one key to perfection in every profession, and that is yogastha guru karmani. The same thing is expressed in other words in the same Bhagavad Gita, somewhere else, you know. Prakritim swam avashtabhya. Remaining in my own nature. This is self-referral consciousness. Holding on to self-referral consciousness. Visrijami puna puna. I create again and again. So the creative process lies in holding back to the source. Holding back to the source, coming on to myself, coming on to my nature, I create again and again. This is remaining in one's self-referral state. One performs action. And then the total potential of natural law upholds action. See, this is called skill in action. This is skill in action. How to do action? Come within yourself. Be yourself. No matter what you want to do. No matter what you want to do. No matter how much localization values you want to prefer. But in really achieving what you want to achieve, the procedure is perform from yourself. Be yourself and act from your own level where you are completely self-sufficient. In that state, you are upheld by all the laws of nature. That is your unified field. That is your yogic awareness. That is Vedic awareness. And Ved, knowledge, is infinite organizing power. In that awareness, what you uphold is infinite organizing power of pure knowledge. A very great science and art of performance. With this, every profession will be perfect in the world and we'll have heaven on earth. Yes, Dr. Wallace, you were saying something? Continue on that genetic code.
Well, I was interested to see what we could think of as being the Shruti value of the Smriti value of DNA. I was thinking, was it the RNA or the protein? What was the, or was it contained within the DNA itself, the actual information to express itself?
That is what we say impression of memory. That is the equality different than Shruti. Shruti is the fluctuation of consciousness, sound of self-referral consciousness, fluctuation of the unified field, Shruti. But the sequential progression of Shruti is on the basis of the memory, the smriti of what was initially before, and what was initially before was collapse of infinity unto a point, this was before, and what is coming after. Smriti both ways, of the source and of the course of one's progression. So smriti is the driving force, we would say, of the nature of Shruti. The fluctuations, they are the fluctuations of self-referral consciousness, they are the fluctuations of unity. Just as there is a quality of Sanyita, calm, quiet, collectedness of the ocean, and in that quality there is Rishi Devata and Chandas. And in this Rishi Devata and Chandas, memory is alive. Always Rishi and always Devata and always Chandas and always the three together in Sanyita. So in the structure of Sanyita of Rishi Devata and Chandas, the element of Rishi is smriti or memory is available. So smriti is available along with Shruti. Smriti is available along with Shruti, whether Shruti is, now we want to put in two perspectives, whether the Shruti is what we say self-referral or we say object-referral. Self-referral and object-referral, both values are of the same value of consciousness, and both have their smritis. Both have their smritis. So a smriti on the level of DNA seems to be just the simplest manifest state of intelligence. Simplest manifest. Completely simple, but endowed with all possible memories. Because the eternity is not an isolated value of yesterday or today. Going on, and when everything was going on for a long, long time, then the impressions are there from long, long time, from long, long time. And these impressions are expressed in a material value of what we say DNA. And it is just the expression, material expression, physical expression of pure intelligence. That pure intelligence, which is Shruti and Smriti, that pure intelligence, which is bundle of every possibility, all possibilities. So in that structure, there is innumerable impressions. Innumerable impressions. And that state of, that underlying value of unity, and that surface value of diversity, they are both on the ground of memory. Self-referral memory or object-referral memory. Memory of object or memory of oneself. So here in this play field of memory is the functioning of DNA, which is a very spontaneous functioning within its own nature, self-referral value. So DNA is the self-referral functioning. And in the self-referral functioning, what it comes along in a very sequential way is chips of memory. Chips of chips of memory, and each chip comes out and then orders the RNA and the whole structure of the physiology and all that. Because all that Shruti Smriti play is demonstrated in the Puranas, physical demonstration of the quantum mechanical reality of self-referral and object-referral values on the same level of pure wakefulness, the ultimate reality. Just to remind ourselves.
It's so parallel and so beautiful that, I mean, the DNA has to be such a representation of the Veda in nature. It has exactly that quality. I mean, first of all, the fact that every bit of life is somehow attracted to DNA, it's what distinguishes, really. It gives the quality of life. It gives that full memory of existence. Somehow consciousness is attracted to that quality that it has, and that it has that smriti value, and that this concept of sequential unfoldment, where one is commenting on the other. It's like Agni. It's just that whole thing of one part of the DNA unfolds, and then it begins to interact with the other. It's what they would call an iteration, a sequential iteration, where something is continually interacting, and based on that memory, knowing what happened before this gap, then that will determine what happens the next syllable that will come out. And it's in that kind of precision that it works, and it's completely amazed everyone who has studied it, that it should have that much information encoded within it, and in such a compact form, and in such an incredibly precise form, that it can, the whole idea of morphogenesis is the most baffling thing in the world. It's never really been explained in a satisfying way. Maybe this idea of morphogenic fields is the best explanation, that there is this quantum mechanical nature of the DNA, which is a field, and which has all the totality of the information implicit within this field, and the DNA really is the representation of that field, and it's the sequential unfoldment of knowledge, which takes place with this computing precision, where it's continually computing with itself. That's all it is computing with itself. It also has that aspect where perhaps the most curious and interesting thing is that so much of the DNA is silent. And in the very early cells in the formation of an organism, that silence is a field of all possibilities. And it really could go in any direction. It's completely without any obstacle.
In Bhagavad Gita, there is an expression, sahajam karma konte, that you do natural karma. Natural karma. And DNA, in its innocence, is just sits there, awake to its holistic nature.
Yes.
That is that beautiful expression in the material field, which is just consciousness and wholeness of consciousness, wakefulness, demonstrated by the DNA, by the existence of DNA. And then whatever is required, the environment draws from it. Whatever is necessary, the requirement draws from it. The whole environment is the creation of DNA. Yes, go ahead.
I was just thinking that the way the Vedic literature unfolds, this whole idea that the Rishi sees Devata and it becomes Devata qualified by Rishi, this whole process where these three are interacting and you have this continual qualification, it's very much like the process by which the DNA becomes committed in a particular direction. It's this total potential of natural. It's like Rig Veda has every possibility, But then it branches out and becomes different branches of the body, of the literature of the body, instead of the Vedic literature, the literature of the body. It always has its wholeness within it. It never really loses. It's always the whole information. So all the Samhita of Rishi Devantan Chandas is always there. But it's as if it becomes more and more qualified. So one cell will become, say, a liver cell. And it starts off as any cell. It could be anything in the world, but it becomes committed in a certain direction. It's as if there is some continual process of Rishi Devatan Chandas acting within it, and it's beginning to qualify it so that it's going to become more and more some branch of that wholeness, some apparent diversity. It's not really diversity because it has the wholeness within it, but it's becoming an apparent diversity.
Maharshi, could we say that we play our expressed value of the DNA just like a laser disc machine plays a laser disc? In other words, the DNA could be compared to the RIC of the Veda, and it has all the frequencies, and because we're living an objectified value of consciousness, we're like playing, you said once, everything is set. So we just play our DNA and create our universe through our senses. Is that?
Yeah. Depending at what level we fix up our attention, where the infinity in the whirlpool, infinity or a point? At the point. Memory, where? And the memory is set. Everything is there, whatever the environment demands, it gets.
I remember you saying, Maharshi, that some families that would be traditionally responsible for a certain aspect of the Vedic literature, they might have a certain quality of their DNA, some part of that laser disc is shining on part of the, some aspect of the laser disc is being more expressed so that they can reverberate those laws of nature in their speech and their physiology. It's as if it's imbibed in their DNA that expression of that branch of the Vedic literature is part of their life.
And then the one thing in the laser disc is that it has to revolve to locate a point. It has to come very fast, and it'll quickly come to the point and deliver that particular storage of image or sound. But in this case, everything is available at each point. The DNA doesn't have to uncover anything. Even when we think impressions in terms of past and present and future, impressions in terms of past and present, that gives the idea that one is below the other, one is below the other, one is below the other. Now this one below the other, till the whole range of infinity, is fully awake at each point of intelligence, at each point of intelligence. So whatever is needed, immediately that point delivers that thing. Whatever is needed, that point delivers.
Duty Smriti?
Smriti is pervading the whole thing. So, whereas when we analyze, you know, this impression, now I'm metabolizing the experience of this and this and this, one after the other. But because this whole thing is phenomenal. This whole thing is phenomenal in that pure wakefulness. So even though there is sequence, there is simultaneity.
Yes, that's beautiful.
Beautiful state of DNA as we know it, no? Connecting it with consciousness or intelligence, you just say innocent particle of intelligence. Innocent particle of intelligence. And intelligence is, in its nature, always fully awake. So this wakefulness quality of DNA is like the resource of all possibilities, fully awake in itself. And that is that situation which is expressed, no? In words, knock and the door will open. Requirement of the environment, what environment needs, what localized values need. They just get sponsored from there. So this DNA particle of intelligence is such a beautiful, beautiful gift of all possibilities to human frame.
Yes.
The human structure. And how it's, you know, so beautifully this advancement in the field of different levels of natural law has given us all this hardware technology still within the range of matter, but very, very successfully, beautifully mapping different levels of intelligence.
It's the whole knowledge you're presenting is so beautiful and so complete, because it describes how every level of life is enlivened in this state of perfection. That when we enliven these fine fabrics of consciousness, that simultaneously enlivens every level of our matter, that they're all connected, it's all one unity. And in enlivening those fine fabrics of consciousness, we see that the DNA is enlivened, and it becomes those values which become life-supporting becomes more predominant. And this is really reflected in terms of the more perfect functioning of the physiology. And so almost anything we look in the physiology, say we look at the function of the brain and how the brain performs, how we see, it's ultimately determined by the balanced state of expression of the DNA. One experiment, which is a Nobel Prize winning experiment, where animals are brought up, and this was presented earlier, where these cats are brought up in a certain environment where they only see one kind of stimuli. What happens in that experiment is that these animals, in their early stages of development, are extremely sensitive to the environment, to the sequential expression of DNA. The total potential is there to see everything in the environment. It's all is there. But because the DNA, in a sense, gets object referral, it begins to be limited. It begins to be, the whole process of referring back to it is only enlivening certain values within the DNA. Then as only that gets expressed. And what that manifests is in all the way the whole visual process works, because the DNA ultimately controls the growth of the axons and dendrites. It controls the receptors on the membrane. It's this incredibly complex dynamical process. It's not static. It's changing every second. Our DNA is changing our number of receptors, our number of neurotransmitters, some little fine fibers growing this way and that way. It's all going on in this dynamical system. And so the DNA is responsible ultimately for any one of these changes, and any one of these changes will ultimately determine how we perceive. So if these animals are brought up this way, then they get committed to a certain direction. Their DNA loses its total potential, and they aren't educated in all possibilities. And what you're bringing to the world, Maharishi, is that is a process of educating the DNA, a process of enlivening the full potential of the DNA, and we see it so clearly in the objective research. For example, the brain maps. What do the brain maps tell us? Well, we see that these topographical brain maps, they show us a more balanced state. As you said it very beautifully earlier, that the brain operates in this more balanced state. And that's exactly what we see, is that this greater coherence, this greater balance between parts of the brain, certain parts of the brain are being enlivened that as if weren't enlivened before. And therefore, we're sort of stimulating all the possible values, but in a balanced fashion. Everything is maintained in those, in that fine value of liveliness, but not stress, but in a perfectly coherent balance, so that the liveliness of all the connections, because ultimately how the DNA controls things is by enlivening things. If you move your hand, this hand more, then that sends some sort of neurotransmitters, and these transmitters will ultimately lead back through feedback systems to causing the DNA to make more of this and more of that, and you'll reinforce a particular pathway. So how we enliven the DNA, if we enliven it in sort of an abnormal, imbalanced way, then the whole expression of the physiology is like that. But if the DNA is enlivened in a holistic way, which really we could only conceive of in terms of consciousness, how could we possibly, through genetic engineering or any artificial way, think of trying to stimulate one part of the DNA to get something? It's unimaginably impossible. It can only be computed by nature's intelligence. And in that state where we allow the physiology to settle down, then all those repair mechanisms are enlivened, the DNA repairs itself, it creates, it regains its memory. And that expresses itself in this more coherent brain mapping, expresses itself in greater longevity, reduced healthcare costs. We can see all these even simplistic little changes, you know, like dehydroepiandrosterone, some chemical that's associated with aging, and it goes down with aging. But in siddhas, it goes up. So why is that? It has to be because the DNA is in a more balanced expression. It's more holistically being enlivened. And we can go to some other area. Whatever area we look at in the physiology, and they're all so different and complex, all those changes can only be interpreted in terms of the fact that we're educating that unified value of the Samhita of Rishi Devata and Chandas on all levels, and ultimately in the DNA. And then that is allowing this already perfect system, because it's ultimately a perfect system to begin with, but it somehow loses its memory, it forgets, and it gets committed in certain directions that are more narrow, doesn't regain its full potential. So by keeping that liveliness at the basis of DNA, at that field of consciousness, which is ultimately the foundation of the quantum mechanical body, this unified body, we could say, and that unified body is fully lively, then the DNA just reflects that, and then we see all these beneficial changes, every part of the physiology.
One thing very beautiful that comes out of what you said, This we see, we are in the program to create heaven on earth, and in that, removal of poverty is one of the very great factor, and raising the economy of the developing countries, very great factor. What we see in the field of industry in the developing countries is that sugar industry is sick, and this industry is sick, that industry is sick, that industry is sick. So those who work there get into this network of impossibility. They are held up by their own psychological barriers. Nothing can happen beyond this. So for all the governments, there is an invitation for the managers of the sick industries. Let them break their boundaries morning and evening through dives into their own self-referral consciousness. thereby the damage that they have done to their DNAs,
yes, it's true,
will be repaired.
It's educating our DNA.
Educate the DNA by breaking the boundaries of the workers, and the sick industry will become healthy industry. This, now apply this case to every profession, and every profession will be on the top of its efficiency. This is the purpose of talking all these things, coming to the conclusion that there is a way to manage oneself and maintain the top level effectiveness of one's own DNA, and from there one's own health, perfect health, so that the work in any profession does not devour health, doesn't create stress and strain, maintain that vitality which will be maintaining that self-referral holistic consciousness, which is a field of all possibilities. So it's the DNA. Now, one thing is to understand, and the other thing is to apply this knowledge to the process. Intellectual understanding of this will not help. The consciousness has to go through that experience where the DNA would metabolize the experience of transcendental consciousness and will become healthy DNA, and then healthy, wealthy and wise, whole physiology and mind and everything, and the brain will function in the most balanced way, and the whole consciousness will be functioning in a way that will be incorporating all the laws of nature in every phase of activity. This is the program, this is the technique, this is the knowledge that has to be made practical experience in one's daily life. That simply means start the practice of transcendental meditation, maintain it, go through its advanced techniques and the CD program, and then you'll maintain profession on its top level of efficiency and effectiveness. This is the program to create every profession perfect, and every profession perfect means society perfect, means heaven on earth. A very beautiful package of knowledge, and all will derive maximum advantage from it. Jai Guru Dev.
This concludes tonight's full moon celebration sponsored by the Ultimate Flying Club. Thank you for coming out this evening.